Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Good, it's 3 a.m. and I have nothing better to do than listen to this podcast. I'm Rishu Sheth. Yes, I know I sound like a kid. That is because I am one of the very few kids on this planet that podcasts. I hope there's more soon. And that was a space reference. Because today, not only are we going to be talking about the latest and greatest advances in technology, but we have a space episode today! That's right, in this episode, we are going to be discussing the landing of the new Mars rover Perseverance, which I am actually currently watching as I record this episode. We are going to start off with some new updates about the OnePlus 9 Pro and other production tech, followed by the Perseverance rover landing, with a special game review near the end, and then, of course, quick news. I'll leave the timestamps in the show notes, so you can easily go to the topic or topics you want to know about without anything you do not care for getting in the way. But anyway, I'm Rishu Sheth, and welcome to Legend Tech. Let's start off with OnePlus 9 Pro updates. So if you've already seen Dave Tutti's video about the guy who sent him photos of the OnePlus 9 Pro, then feel free to skip. But I mean, if you haven't, you might want to stick around. So, we've all seen photos of the OnePlus 9, right? If you haven't, just look it up. That weird 2 or 3 camera setup in that rectangle-sized camera module in the top left corner, that's getting popular on phone nowadays. Well, now, we may have a clear image of what the OnePlus 9 Pro will look like, and what the future of OnePlus holds. So, the OnePlus 9 Pro apparently has a 4 or 5 camera setup, tilt-shift, and the most important note is that the leak showed Hasselblad branding on the camera module. Now, for those of you who know what Hasselblad is, skip ahead a bit. But for those of you who aren't really sure or haven't heard of it, essentially, Hasselblad is a camera company. As Dave Tutti says, they make pretty nice cameras, and they do not come cheap, and Dave is right. Your typical Hasselblad camera will sell for up to $6,000 to $7,000, with the most expensive I've ever seen listed at a whopping $50,000. That's as much as an extreme high-end car, but it depends in your eyes. For some, the camera will be worth $50,000, but for others, $50,000 is something that they desperately need to use for something like rent or bills, and that person would never even think of spending it on new things. But back to cameras. So this high-end camera firm may partner with OnePlus for their new camera systems, which will most likely lead to a massive improvement in the camera, which is something OnePlus is infamous for not doing well. So this supposed partnership could change it all. This could be the major turning point in the fate of OnePlus. If OnePlus wants their cameras to be good, they'll not just need good software, but also good hardware. So it's reasonable that they partner with the camera company, in this case, Hasselblad. But as I stated before, Hasselblad is expensive. They will probably charge a price of up to $60 per phone for the camera, which will not be cheap for a OnePlus phone. This will cause them to raise their prices higher, even after a recent spike in their prices with the 8 series. This is bad news for customers. If you don't recall, OnePlus started out its journey dubbed the flagship killer. By 2019, the price of their best phone had risen to $669, and in 2020, they joined the flagships they once claimed to kill and launched their best phone at a price of $899. Now, MKBHD states in his What Happened to OnePlus video that eventually, after being an enthusiast brand, or a brand that focuses on people who are enthusiastic about tech, you'll have to start doing some different tactics to stay alive, since, as sad as it sounds, you cannot generate enough profit to sustain yourself, even if you are a brand of the people. He goes on to mention different companies that tried to be the brand of the people, but eventually failed due to lack of profit, including companies such as Essential, which was just bought by Carl Pei's startup called Nothing, and Pebble, which made enthusiast-grade smartwatches. The point is, they'll turn into your average smartphone brand, such as Samsung or Apple. It will be interesting to see how they do, though, since Samsung and Apple and other top smartphone brands, such as Huawei, have their ways that they stick out and feel special, and are worth buying over any other brand. OnePlus's unique feature was that it brought flagship specs to the table, but with budget pricing, by the way, the Nord does not count, since they did not pay much attention to the design, and they didn't bring flagship specs for a budget price, instead putting a 765G inside instead of the flagship 865 at the time. But with that gone and their main smartphones, it'll be interesting to see what they do. And if these OnePlus 9 Pro leaks were true, this partnership with Hasselblad will either take them to the moon or leave OnePlus in a smoldering wreckage. We will get to our discussion of the Perseverance rover while I watch the live stream after this short ad break. Welcome back to Legend Tech. I have just finished watching the live stream and it's embellishment time.
Wow.
So the official NASA live stream started off with a woman who I'll assume does news coverage and interviews for NASA. And she was interviewing and discussing the Perseverance rover landing and the process of getting it to land on Mars with the person who was in charge of the rover landing. And that is Dr. Swati Mohan. She explains how the landing process is going to work, and now I will explain to you. So here are the steps for landing. After it had entered the Martian atmosphere, crew stage separation was confirmed by the spacecraft. Then it decelerated to a much lower speed from 13,000 miles per hour to around 2,000 miles per hour. Then the guided entry starts, and a parachute is deployed to try and slow down the capsule. Next, the heat shield that protected it from heat and radiation falls off. Now, something special about this rover is that it used cameras to see where to land relative to the terrain on Mars. So it used these and figured out where to land. Then, the back shell separated off, leaving just the rover and the thrusters. The capsule has reached 2 miles per hour and is ready for landing, and then it lowered and dropped the rover down. Then the thrusters flew as far away from the rover as possible so it can be self-destructed without harming the rover. And that is when we heard the beautiful words, "Touchdown is confirmed, we are safe on Mars." One of the main things that the Perseverance rover will be doing is collecting sample rocks and putting it in test tubes, then leaving the tubes scattered in a small area in the Jezero crater. Now here is where the cool part comes in. There will be a helicopter under the belly of the rover called the Ingenuity. The Ingenuity helicopter will be the first man-made powered flight to occur on another planet. And the goal of it will to be to collect the tubes of the sample rock that I mentioned earlier. Then, it will fly out of the atmosphere and place the samples into Mars's orbit. Those samples are going to be there for a future mission, which will go into Mars's orbit and collect the samples. Then return with them so scientists can study the samples. We've had rocks from Mars come to Earth through meteorites, but those samples were not completely pure, and they could have been altered while floating through space. So they may not precisely show if there could be microorganisms in the rocks of Mars. Other new scientific instruments on the Perseverance rover that were not on the previous rovers include a robotic arm that will be able to perform various actions and also microphones, which will provide the first ever sounds of Mars. There are also 15 cameras on this rover. All of that said, it was extremely impressive to see how on target the rover was to its planned landing spot. It was said to have been the most difficult landing maneuver yet. So, I want to say thanks and a great job to the teams, engineers, mission control, and all the people who were able to land a rover on Mars during a pandemic. Now, let's get to game review. Welcome to Game Review. Our last two segments of this episode will be a new one, which I just said again, called Game Review. And after that, we will have our new favorite, Quick News. So let's get right into Game Review. Welcome to Game Review. This will be a segment of the show, which will appear once every 3 to 5 episodes when I play a game of great enough significance that I want to make a game review on it to share my thoughts. And I have been playing a very significant game. For the last week, I've been playing The Outer Worlds by Obsidian Entertainment. The Outer Worlds is an action-adventure role-playing game set in a distant star system called Halcyon, where life is controlled by 10 corporations who took control of everything in an alternate reality where the trusts weren't broken up. These corporations sent two ships, but one of them was not allowed to enter Halcyon. So a mad scientist named Phineas Wells decides to let you out of the ship, which did not depart into Halcyon. And that angers the corporations. So Phineas Wells is on the wanted list in the Halcyon colony, and you spend most of the game journeying through the different planets in Halcyon on your ship, the Unreliable. And you complete different tasks and meet new people and fight marauders and different creatures along the way. Now for the criticism. Let's start with the world. Now, the world, or worlds, since there are different planets, put off a weird, funky space vibe, and it hits pretty right. And it can be compared to Fallout New Vegas, since it also had the same creators. Now, the worlds might seem cool, but traversing them is, well, a bit janky. The control scheme isn't that good, and it sometimes glitches you inside of the map. There could have been some work done there. Also, it's not like Cyberpunk level, but there are many other glitches, too. Another note is that the world isn't really open, even though it is an open world game, it's considered that. But the world, it's quite, like, linear, since you have to traverse backward in the story if you want to catch up on quests you missed in an area you've already visited. This leads me to another thing, which is the loading times. On one planet, there are about 15 to 20 different areas in an extremely small space that takes away from the vast star system feeling. And each of those spaces requires a 1 to 2 minute loading screen to transition from one to another. And these are not as big of spaces as you would think. Now, to the combat. The combat systems in the Outer Worlds are definitely not the strong suit of the game. The combat is decent with a variety of guns and melee weapons, but the downside is some fights are over-the-top hard, and some don't even require lifting a finger. The story is good, but isn't any masterpiece like The Witcher or Skyrim. This does not have many interlacing stories like you would expect out of a game of its sort, but instead has a single quest line for each companion and the occasional NPC side quests. Most of the side quests are found in specific areas, and these are just tasks to convince people in the main story to do things, but these can often be avoided by dialogue or shooting your way through things. In fact, this game can be played quite quickly if you play ruthlessly. But now, let's get to the things that this game does right. The Outer Worlds does a great job of feeling like an eccentric space game. It has a perfect mix of dark humor and funk to hit that space vibe just right, that you feel like the colony has character. They have many songs and products that give up that retro neon vibe. All in all, this game did not do as much as it could have, but it did a decent job on what it did manage to do. It is very similar to Fallout, but the combat, character, and companion systems have enough new spins on existing ideas to make it feel like a homage with its own personality rather than a copy. That's it for game review. Now let's get to quick news. This episode on quick news. We don't have very much on this episode, but we have a few things. About 5. Sophisticated hackers have snuck sleeper malware into nearly 30,000 Macs. Samsung has confirmed that they are working on augmented reality glasses. The FAA is no longer concerned with SpaceX's Starship SN9 and SN8. Diablo 2 is getting remastered for both console and PC. And finally, you can now Rickroll people in 4K. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I don't care if you leave a good review or a bad review, as long as you leave a review on any platform so I can get feedback. Thank you for listening, and make sure to stay nerdy for the next episode of Legend, coming next Monday.